Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I have a great show for all of you today. My guest will be Catherine Epstein, and she is the founder of the Living Lotus Group and Living Lotus Coaching. And I'll tell you more about her when she comes on in just a little bit. But first, I want to talk to you about some things going on in and around the news, some events you might want to go to and participate in, and of course, my weekly recipe. So first, I want to just share with you that this week, finally, after waiting most of the summer, my friends and young kids from the River Fund, which is the nonprofit food pantry that I cook with for Thanksgiving and Christmas, they came out and joined me for a day at the farm, at the homestead here at IE Green, and helped me in the garden and harvested some vegetables. And then they got to enjoy the beauty of the property and the pool while I prepared a beautiful farm-to-table lunch for them. And it was just great. You know, I turned them on to some goat cheese. We had a goat cheese and pesto pizza. I made pesto from the basil that we harvested, a huge green salad from all the arugula and greens that we harvested, fresh tomatoes. Everyone went home with some tomatoes, of course. And it was just, it's just a wonderful day and wonderful time. And I love sharing the bounty of the garden with everybody. And I also made it up to Storm King Art Center finally. I've been telling you about this art show that's been going on since May 19th. It's called Indicators, Artists on Climate Change. And it's a unique exhibit that that looks at the personal perspectives of 17 contemporary artists, including the artist in residence from the Natural Resource Defense Council and Jenny Kendler, and also Mary Mattingly. She is the founder of Swale, the floating farm that is that had been docked in Brooklyn. Actually, this past weekend was the last weekend, but she had a floating farm that can dock anywhere. And anyway, it was just a great exhibit. If you haven't been to Storm King Art Center, it's a huge sculpture garden up on Cornwall on the Hudson and near Bear Mountain. It's beautiful. It's not too far from the city. And you just spend a day walking, coming upon all these Vesuvios and big sculptures. And then, of course, there's this exhibit of 17 artists and their take on climate change. And there was, you know, one exhibit with, you know, all these different eyes of different birds that are endangered species. And then there was, you know, tropical garden that, of course, would not be able to really survive in this climate, but because it's warming, the thought of having a pine tree, a palm tree in upstate New York is not far off. Anyway, it was a great exhibit. I really recommend people checking it out if you can. It was really wonderful. And then I want to remind everybody that next weekend is the Rise New York Climate March and the Climate March down in D.C. So that it's different in New York. In New York City, we are marching on September 6th. And the reason is because the West Indies Parade is on September 8th, which is the date that this march is happening everywhere else around the country, and we couldn't have two events that size in the city the same day. So this is going to be a huge event Thursday evening, September 6th, meeting down in Battery Park City starting at 5:30, and you all should be there. We need to all show up and let our elected officials know how important this issue of climate change is. We just can't wait anymore. I don't know how many of you saw the very depressing full magazine article in the New York Times Magazine a couple of weeks ago about climate change. But it is real, everybody. It is real. It is here. It needs to take front and center, and it needs to inform every decision we make going forward. And of course, our elected officials, many of them are still in denial, and we need to make sure that they hear from all of us. So please join the march September 6th in New York City, September 8th everywhere else. D.C., there's one on Long Island in Long Beach, a big rally in March. Food and Water Watch will be there supporting that march. But you can go to the peoplesclimate.org website, and you can find out about a march near you. So please, we need everybody on board for that. Also, on September 8th, the Queen's Farm is hosting a wild edible event, and that is $25 fee, but you can go to the Queen's Farm and find out about it. But Letta Meredith, who is a forager, and she's been on my show before, she will be there teaching everybody what to look for, how to find edibles, how to forage for things just by walking the ground. So that should be a really fun day. And you can do that during the day and then come to the go to a march at night. Also on September 8th, Just Food is sponsoring an organic food for the people cookout, and that's from 2 to 6. So actually, that's the same day as the march. So I would say go to the march. That's more important, unless there could be a march up there in the Bronx. So check that out. September 16th is the 12th annual North Fork Foodie Tour, and this happens every year. It's a great tour of some of the North Fork farms. The tour includes 20 locations, and it's a self-guided tour. So the locations are all expecting people to show up, but you're not following any one group. You'll be running into people all day long if you do this. But you can go onto the website, and I have a link on my website at IE Green to find out more information about it. But it's from 10 to 4 on September 16th, and there's 20 different locations out on the East End, from the goat cheese farm to the chicken farm, so many different things to see, oyster farm. So anyway, check that out. September 16th also is the annual Boston Local Food Festival. If you happen to be up in the Boston area, that's free, and that should be a wonderful event. On September 21st through the 23rd, there's an Aquaponics Association conference, and that is taking place in Hartford, Connecticut. It's all day, all 3 days, and you can buy either a ticket for just one day or for the whole weekend. But if you're interested in aquaponics and learning about commercial aquaponics or community aquaponics, how to grow your own fish, this is where you want to be. So check that out. All of these links are on my website. On September 22nd is the 15th anniversary of the North Shore Land Alliance wine auction. North Shore Land Alliance is a wonderful, wonderful nonprofit, and the Land Alliance is all around the country. They are the nonprofit organizations working to preserve open space and preserve space from developers. So they are really, really important. So whenever you can support your Land Alliance, you want to. And this is a wonderful event, lots of fun. It's out at the planting fields at their new offices, and it's just a beautiful estate. So you can come out to that and support the North Shore Land Alliance. Also, September 24th through the 29th, Agritexture Exchange is partnering up with AgTech X for a curated week in New York exploring agriculture's role within the sustainable city movement. You can go onto the Agritexture website for more information, or again on my website. On September 25th, Slow Food North Shore is having their Snail of Approval dinner at the Perennial Restaurant from 7 to 10, and you want to be there. September 25th, Stone Barns is having their gala celebration. If you're in California, the California Vegetarian Food Festival is coming up from September 29th through the 30th. You want to save the date also for October 1st. FERN, which stands for the Food and Environmental Reporting Network, they're hosting Ruth Rochelle and Dirk Candy's chef Amanda Cohn for a conversation on the Me Too movement in the restaurant business. This should be really great, and that's at the Green Building in Brooklyn, if you're interested in that. And an Oktoberfest is coming up at the Stone Barn Center on October 6th. But I also want to tell you about October 8th is Food Tank Summit in New York City. This is always a sold-out event, so if you are interested in going, you want to get your tickets ASAP. Food Tank is another wonderful, wonderful nonprofit organization raising awareness about our food system. and you want to be there. That's going to be at NYU. And also, save the date for November 3rd, because the North Shore Land Alliance that I was just talking to you about, along with the Long Island Food Coalition, is bringing the next Long Island Food Conference to Long Island. It will be at LIU Post Campus all day from 8 to 6 p.m. Our keynote speaker is Francis Moore Lappay, who wrote the book Diet for a Smell Planet and was my inspiration in becoming vegetarian at the age of 16. And she's wonderful. I'm so excited to have her here on Long Island. And Sally Fallon from the Weston Price Foundation will be there. Tom Colicchio will be there, and many more people. So you want to be there, too. So anyway, I definitely wanted to tell you about getting out for the March for the Climate Change on September 6th and 8th. I also want to encourage you, if you are not volunteering anywhere yet, to help get people out to vote. There is still time to register to vote in the general election. It's too late for the primaries if you're not registered already, but you can vote in the general election. There's still time to register, and we want to get everybody who is not registered registered. So, you know, there's links on my website to tell you where to go to help get involved in that. Also, I know I talked about the lawsuit last week against Monsanto, and it's just amazing the fallout that's going on. Over 8,000 lawsuits have been brought up against Monsanto now since that ruling. And, of course, Bayer, company who just bought out Monsanto, they were prepared for all these lawsuits, you know, and a quote from them that I think is really interesting. They say, "Nothing whatsoever has changed in the regulatory status of the product. There is simply very high demand and has been for many decades for glyphosate. However, it's really up to our Food and Drug Administration and the USDA to regulate glyphosate. And it is being regulated now in the EU. And we need our elected officials once again to stand up for the people and for the good of the environment and not these corporations. It's just dumbfounding. It's infuriating. It's terrible. And so we all need to let our elected officials know. I also wrote about a really interesting article about teaching kids to cook and how that is really important later in life. And I just got a text message from my son earlier this week showing me a beautiful dinner that he made for himself and his girlfriend of grilled vegetables and a salad, and it was just so beautiful. And and all three of my children cook all the time, and I just took it for granted that, of course, you know, they cook. But it's amazing how many kids don't cook, and it's amazing how many kids don't cook because they don't see their parents cooking. And as adults, we all need to realize that we are the role models for our children. And what they see at home is what they're going to do later on in their life. So when you are, you know, I know lots of people still fix dinner, meaning that they microwave something that they picked up at Trader Joe's or whatever. But I just want to emphasize how important it is to really cook. Feeding ourselves, and this is something that we will talk about with my guests later today, feeding yourself is a divine act. It's taking care of yourself. It is essential, and we need to put it at the top of our list of priorities, and we need to feed the people we love. And we can only do that using fresh, organic ingredients. They don't have to be organic, but you do want to know where they come from. You want to know that they are raised in a sustainable way so that you're not, while cooking, at the same time poisoning yourself with glyphosate and other pesticides and herbicides and GMOs that get into our food. So you want to be mindful of that. But just know that what you model for your children is what they're going to do later in life. And it's just such a pleasure when I hear from my kids asking me for a recipe or how to do this or just doing it and sending me pictures of this beautiful meal they created. Another thing I wrote about is the first world floating farm. Of course, it's not really the first, as I mentioned earlier. Mary Mattingly has a floating farm called Swale that was docked down in Brooklyn, but hers is a small project that people can come on to and harvest vegetables for free, and that's a whole different thing. This is a commercial floating farm that they're planning in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. And while I can appreciate the idea of wanting to grow food close at home, again, it's not organic. It's hydroponically grown. So you don't have the soil, so you don't have the nutrients from the soil. But I'm okay. I can get past that. But the idea that they have of putting, they want to start small, so they're talking about only starting with 40 cows, but then going up into the hundreds and possibly thousands of cows, floating on a farm, being milked by robots. Oh my God, come on. That's just too out there. What kind of life is that for the cows, to be floating on a barge, being milked by robots? I just can't stomach that. So anyway, interesting article, interesting thought. And, you know, innovation is great. We need to think about innovation, ways that we can counterbalance the climate change catastrophes that are facing us. But we also have to be mindful of the ramifications of what these innovations bring. So on that note, I would like to now share with you my recipe, a very simple recipe this week. It's a basic tomato sauce. But I got to tell you, when you make a tomato sauce with your own tomatoes that you have harvested from your own garden and cook it for hours, there's nothing quite like it. It's so fresh and delicious. So this is my recipe for tomato sauce. I started with 4 cups of chopped onions, 1 cup of chopped green peppers. You can use whatever kind of peppers you have, but I have a lot of green peppers from my garden. 1/2 cup of olive oil, 1/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons of finely chopped garlic, 16 cups peeled and diced tomatoes, 3/4 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon pepper, 1/4 teaspoon red pepper flakes, 1 tablespoon of fresh oregano, and 1/2 cup of chopped fresh basil. And I started by heating the olive oil in a large, heavy pot. Added the onions and sautéed those for about 5 minutes, then added the peppers, and continued cooking those at a low temperature for 10, 15 minutes until the peppers and onions really get caramelized and sweet. And then while that was going on, I peeled the tomatoes. And the best way I know of peeling the tomatoes, and I guess it probably adds a little depth of flavor to the tomatoes at the same time, is I put a fork on the end of the tomatoes, and I had the pot of onions cooking in the middle burner, and I had 2 side burners where I put both tomatoes on a fork over the flame and just churn them over the flame, and the skin kind of roasts and pops and then just peels off really, really easily. So I did that with the tomatoes until I got 16 cups of peeled diced tomatoes. And I used Roma tomatoes because I had so many of them. And then I cut those up and added those into the pot. And then I added the garlic. Actually, I added the garlic with the onions and the peppers and cooked that around. Added the tomatoes. Then I added the basil, continued cooking, and added the oregano, and just let that cook for hours. And I just kept stirring it on occasion and let it cook for a long time. And I mean hours. I think I started the tomato sauce probably at 11 in the morning, and we ate it at around 6 at night, and it was cooking the whole time. So the longer you cook it, the richer the flavor gets, but it still tasted like fresh tomato sauce. I know if you just saute tomatoes really lightly, that's very different. This is a real deep-flavored tomato sauce and just delicious. And you can adjust the salt and pepper to your liking, also more red pepper if you like it. Also use it as a pizza sauce or whatever. So enjoy if you make that. And now it's my pleasure to introduce to all of you my guest this week, Catherine Epstein. She is the founder of the Living Lotus Group and Living Lotus Coaching. And I invited her on to talk about her new book, The Divine Dining Method, and we'll talk about that. Catherine is also a Reiki master, a graduate of gemology from the Gemological Institute of America, and she's a certified transformational life coach. And so it's my pleasure to introduce to all of you Catherine. Are you on, Catherine?
I am here, Bhavani. How are you?
Good. Great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on here. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. I'm really enjoying your book, The Divine Dining Method, 21 Days to Transform Your Eating Through Mindfulness to Create a Happy and Healthy Relationship with Food for Good. So tell us a little bit about you first. You know, how did you come to connect your practice with dining, and how did you come to develop this divine dining method?
Well, Bhavani, it all started probably in the early 2000s when I took many self-help courses and studied different philosophies and self-improvement. And in about 2004, 2005, I read an article on how to eat mindfully, and it was an experiment of how to eat an apple. And so I tried it. I cut the apple apart, and I sat and focused fully and followed the instructions to focus on the apple, feeling the crunch of the apple, the juice, tasting the flavor, and really chewing it thoroughly and slowly and making sure that I enjoyed it. And it took me about 15 to 20 minutes to eat the apple. And while I was eating it, I said, wow, this is what a great experiment. What a great opportunity to get to know and feel and be a part of eating. And I said, I got to do this more in my life. And once I finished the experiment, I promptly forgot about mindful eating a week, month, and whatever. But then it kept staying in the back of my mind. So I started teaching it and teaching small workshops in my little store, at my Gem and Crystal store in Seacliff. And people were really receiving it. And so I formulated a 7-day program at that time. But I'm fascinated about really getting to know food and the aspect about divine dining, and I'll explain more about the program in a minute or two. But the thing about eating is it's an emotional hot button issue for many people. Depending on how we were raised or what culture we're from, I'm an Italian, so food is like such a big part of the culture. It's such an individual process, and the more I teach it, the more I learn about how mindful eating or the approach to eating is different for everybody. So that was a long-winded answer to your question, but essentially that's how it started, and I started teaching workshops around Long Island.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's very interesting when you talk about mindful eating and slowing down. That's something that I talk about a lot, you know, also with my passion for the slow food movement, which is not about slow eating, really. However, it is about the pleasures of the table and really savoring what you're eating. And I have found as a chef and as a teacher that I watch people eat and people, you know, and in, especially in this country, people eat not just so fast, but they're not thinking about what are they really tasting. Because I see people eat strawberries in the middle of winter and go, ooh, strawberry, you know, and then I'll taste the strawberry and I'm like, hello, this doesn't even taste like a strawberry. It might be cold and it might be wet and it might be tart, but there's no sweetness and there's no real strawberry flavor. If your eyes were closed, you would not be able to tell that that was a strawberry because it didn't taste like a strawberry. But people are seeing a strawberry and they're tasting a strawberry through their thought of this is a strawberry, but it doesn't really taste like a strawberry. And so often to really have strawberry flavor, it's being created by a scientist by artificial flavoring to get a strawberry flavor because so many strawberries don't really taste like strawberries anymore. And we're not even paying attention to whether something really tastes like what it's supposed to because we're eating so fast.
You're so right, and I also find that people are disconnected, and I think that's what you're saying, and that's why I love when I've been a part of the Slow Food movement, and I've been to many of your events through Slow Foods, And people are disconnected from the food and the source and the season. And that strawberry example was a perfect illumination for how we need to get back into the rhythms and back in tune with the season and nature and really enjoy the food and get our bodies back in tune with it. So, yeah, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So who is this program best suited for? Everybody? It sounds like everybody could use it.
May I say it? It's really best suited for anyone who eats. And it really is suited for people who want to have a healthier relationship with food and really have a better way of speaking to themselves while they eat. In doing this for all these years, what I've learned is that people are not very kind to themselves. They would never speak to a child or a friend the way they speak to themselves, but people really are very hard on themselves while they're, oh, I shouldn't be eating that. Oh, man, I'm such a fat whatever. Or, I mean, really harsh ways of self-talk. So this program is really designed for people who want to develop a better relationship with themselves and their meals so they can really move forward through having better self-compassion. And it's not easy for a lot of people, especially in people that I work with, because people aren't used to being kind to themselves. They're used to beating themselves up. And that's really, so the program is suited for anyone who wants to change and transform their relationship with food.
Mm-hmm. And does it follow a specific diet or regime? You know, is it all vegetarian or vegan or gluten-free, or is it really just all food, just more of how you approach it?
Well, I say that there's no specific regimen. I don't promote or profess to promote any type of regimen. However, it is suggested in the book and in my lectures that you choose healthy, or as you say, look at where your food is sourced from, healthy or more organic food or fresh food in season, and grow it yourself if you can, just like you do. So it's not a specific diet. It's not even a diet. It's just the way I say it. It's not a diet. It's an act of supreme self-love and self-care.
Mm-hmm. So there's a real spiritual slant to this. Does someone have to feel like they're on a spiritual practice to really do this diet? Or not diet, this divine dining method?
Yeah, well, it is. There's a very big spiritual bent to this program. And the reason that is because, as you might be aware, in the world, people really want to connect with themselves and they want to live more authentically. So I don't profess to preach spirituality, but it does have a lot of self-compassion, kindness, forgiveness, and really learning. It's more of a consciousness program. So, and it's even for newbies, people who are just becoming spiritually aware of that it's more to life than just themselves. It's that we're all part of this. And it's what you said before about the environment. I mean, there are changes in the environment. So it's not just about ourselves. It's about how we live our own lives and how we see ourselves in the world and know that we're connected to the larger planet, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I know you talked about your exercise, eating that apple, which just sounded like a great exercise. So from there, how did you develop the concept for the whole book? Like, how did you take it to the next level?
Well, it kind of came to me in a spiritual download, and the way I get a lot of my inspirations is in the shower. And many of you might experience this. You get your best ideas sometimes when you're away from the computer or out walking in nature, or in my case, taking a shower. I kind of saw this whole thing unfolding, and of course, working with crystals as touch points and affirmation cards. So that's how the 7-day mindful eating divine dining was born. And that was back in 2006. And so I wrote a booklet. I saw the whole thing with the crystals to use and the affirmation cards, and I put it together with a gentleman in Seacliff who helped me publish the first booklet. And that's how I got the inspiration. And that's sometimes how our best ideas come to us, through dreams and through inspirations. But so many of us can talk ourselves out of it when we get these inspirations and say, nah, that'll never work, or nah, that's too out there. But when you follow an inspiration, when you get a download like that, it can be magical. So,
So let's talk a little bit about the crystals. I know that is your background. You do singing crystal bowls as well, and you're really talented with that. But how do you pick the right crystal? How are crystals used in this? And is that an integral part of the divine dining method?
Well, because my background is a crystal, I've been in crystal therapy and I work with crystals, and I love the energy and vibration from working with crystals. I chose the first 7 stones for the 7-day plan. And again, it was just what I was guided to choose. But I encourage people, don't get too caught up in which crystal do I use, which is the right energy. I really allow people to trust and follow their own intuition. My book just suggests 7 crystals and one for each day that has a different purpose and a different affirmation to go with it. But really, the crystals are a tool. And not to be a crutch, but they're a tool to use, and you can carry them with you with your affirmation card. But they are a part of it, but not a necessary part. So if you don't have the crystal, it's not going to impede the progress of the program in any way. And yes, I love the crystals and the quartz crystal singing bowls. I've been playing the bowls in meditation classes for many years. And crystals are vibration, and it's energy, and that's kind of my focus.
Well, is it possible that someone would pick a wrong crystal and get the wrong type of energy, or would all crystals be good for this?
That is a really excellent question, and one that I do get asked that. I say that if you're guided to pick a crystal, to choose a crystal that you feel you want to work with, then there is no wrong. I'm just a big believer in, you know, there are people from the crystal world that would disagree with me, but I believe if you in your gut feel like you really want to, you resonate with this crystal and you want to work with this, then follow your intuition and really learn how to trust yourself.
Cool. And so someone doesn't have to know the meaning behind a crystal. Just if they see, you know, if you're in a store and you just see crystals and one, you like the feel of one or look of one, you don't necessarily need to know the background of it. You can just go with it.
That's what I profess, and I teach people to really, again, follow their intuition. When I used to do this, I would have people come into my store and say, what crystal do I need? And I would always give people 3 choices that might suit what they were looking to accomplish and let them choose. I would narrow it down for them, yes, but I would let them follow their intuition, because you really don't want to give your power away to someone else. You really want to learn how to tap into your own intuition. And I do have a class, a workshop that teaches people how to work with crystals that goes more in depth in that. But in this very broad and general working with crystals, in my Divine Dining Method book, I do have recommended crystals to use. But yes, if you walk into a store and you see this beautiful crystal that's calling to you, and usually they'll have the description of what the properties of that crystal are, see what you're guided to before you read the card or the description. And then you'll know once you read it that if it really resonates with you, it's meant to be yours. So that's how I profess to teach crystals to people.
And when people buy the book, do they have the option of getting, like, you know, the 7 days of worth of crystals or something like that?
Yes, well, I have two online courses. One is just a 21-day challenge, if you will. It's a low-cost challenge that just includes 21 days of you get a journal prompt and you get a focus for the day. And that's really a wonderful way to just dip your toe into the Divine Dining Method, and the crystals are not needed for that one. But the online course, I have a 21-day self-guided online course that you get the book, you get the 7-day booklet, and you get the crystals and the affirmation cards. So you get the whole Megillah and specific step-by-step instructions to do it on your own. So there's several ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, sounds great. I want to get into some of, you know, some of the affirmations and talk about some of those, because they're really, really beautiful. But before we do, we're going to take just a couple-minute break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that and also who should do this program. Everyone, don't go anywhere. I'm talking with Catherine Epstein, author of The Divine Dining Method, and you're listening to Bhavani at IE Green. Be right back.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, the founder of the Progressive Radio Network. Today we have more than 80 producers bringing forth the most progressive and most liberating information, the kind of information you do not regularly hear on any of the mainstream or alternative media. You can help us now. Up to this point, I have virtually supported the Progressive Radio Network, all of its expenses and payroll, myself. But we would like to expand our reach. We'd like to do far more. We'd like to be able to advertise on Facebook and let others know we exist. We are the number one progressive radio network in the world. In fact, we have programs that are most listened to in all of progressive radio. But we could go a lot further. Our message could reach a lot more people, especially at a time when people are desperate for honest, objective insights on the important topical issues of our day. How can you help? It's simple. Go to prn.fm, go to our main page. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little button, Support Now. And then whatever you can contribute on a monthly basis will make a big difference. It will help get the message out. It will help inform more people, will give them more choices. This is where you'll hear in the independent candidates and the people looking to challenge the corruption in government and industries. But we need to get our reach out further. So please, whatever you can afford on a monthly basis, and there's some suggestions there, and it'll be automatic. All right? Thank you very much for continuing to help us help you and the rest of the world on these important issues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm here with Catherine Epstein, the founder and author of The Divine Dining Method. Catherine, you with me?
Yes, I'm still here.
Great. So right before our break, I wanted to talk about some of the affirmations. You know, how did you come by them? And how do people use them? Or, you know, when you get an affirmation in the morning, is it something you're supposed to just read once, or do you read it many times during the day? And maybe you want to share a few of the affirmations, some of your favorites.
Sure. Well, what I suggest is if you get the full kit with the crystals and the affirmation cards, you can take the card with you, with the crystal, and carry it with your through the day with you, and use it as a touchstone, and put it in your pocket or your purse, and put it out on your desk if you're at work, and that way it keeps you focused on whatever that particular affirmation is. I'd like to read to you from an excerpt from day 12, if I may. And sure. The affirmation is, I will be fully aware and joyful while eating. And that crystal for that day, I just chose day 12 out of, because that's the what I opened to in the book. And the crystal is carnelian. And carnelian is really about the emotional center, and it's the sacral chakra. And it's about emotions that we have towards ourselves and towards eating. So carnelian is a stone that helps bring your awareness into the body and what you're eating to be more mindful of what you're eating and how it affects you. So if you're eating like a favorite food or you're eating something that, like pizza, for example, it just causes you or helps to remind you to slow down. So that's one affirmation. Another affirmation is, I live as my true and authentic self. And that crystal selection is selenite. And selenite is a form of gypsum. That's a higher vibrational stone that helps us to know that, to kind of live as our highest or true self. I don't want to get too esoteric on you here.
Does this program work for people that are stress eaters or compulsive eaters?
Well, in the years of doing this, I've learned that there are many types of people and their approach to food. And what some people do is they eat when they're stressed. It's emotional eating. When they're stressed, they just gobble anything that isn't nailed down. And then there are people who, when they're stressed, they can't even look at food. So that's two types of people right there. And then I have other people who say, well, it depends on the type of stress. Sometimes it's either or. There are also people who are midnight snackers. There are people who eat mindlessly in front of the TV at night. There are people who don't eat anything after midnight. There are people who eat snack all day long. So what part of this program is, and the most important part, is getting to learn your individual style and focus to how you approach eating. And when you start with where you are, that's where you really can learn about your own eating style and begin to make changes from that. So understanding that it's different for everybody, getting to know yourself and your own patterns is key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think from years of Weight Watchers, you know, that was one of the reasons they would just have you write everything down, even before you started the diet, just to kind of like watch your patterns, see what they are. Because so many times people aren't even aware of it. I remember, you know, because I've struggled with my weight my whole life because, you know, and I'm a chef. I'm around food all the time. But at the same time, I also know I grew up in a family with three other siblings. I was always the chubby one. You know, it was just part of it is, you know, a biological thing, you know, your nature. You know, I was always the chubbier one. We would eat the same thing, and my metabolism was different. But in Weight Watchers, they had me, or had, you know, one suggested exercise was to put a little cup next to the stove, and every time you tasted something, you would put this equal amount of what you tasted into this cup, just so you could see at the end of cooking how much you ate that you didn't really count. And it was really interesting, you know, just like, you know, a taste here, is it al dente enough or not, you know? Okay, take out a noodle and put it there. You taste the sauce, take out an equal bite. And, you know, and those bites add up, and it's like, and it was completely unconscious, you know. I was not aware of all those bites that were going into my mouth. And sometimes I'd sit down to the dinner table and I realized if I really paid attention, I was like almost not hungry anymore because I had snacked so much while I was cooking. So that was a real lesson for me, to just become aware. Like you say, so much is just awareness. Become aware of what we're doing. Because so much of what we do sometimes is mindless and we're not thinking about it.
Absolutely. And if I might, that's a brilliant idea and way to get to know how much I'm a picker. While I eat, while I cook, I pick at everything. I taste everything. So, and as a chef, I can imagine you do the same because you want to check the flavor of food. But what I tell people is a way of being more mindful, and one exercise to do is if you want ice cream after dinner, let's say you want ice cream, you know how some people take the pint out of the freezer and they sit in front of the TV and the next thing they know the pint is empty. Well, that's mindless eating at its best. So what I suggest to people is you take the pint of ice cream out of the freezer, section or scoop out however much you want and put it in your bowl and take the bowl with the spoon and don't go sit in front of the TV. Go sit somewhere maybe in your favorite corner in your house or sit outside in the moonlight or whatever, wherever you want to sit that's away from television or distraction and focus fully on the ice cream. That way you're not depriving yourself of having your favorite treat, but you're doing it and your approach to it is much more mindful. And that's a great exercise. And when I tell people that yeah, you can have your favorite food, you can eat whatever your delicacy is, but fully be mindful about it, and that'll change everything because you'll be aware, oh my God, I've eaten so much of this ice cream, I'm already done, and I haven't even finished the bowl. So that's really the crux of the program, is getting to know yourself and when you're full, stopping when you're full.
Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, being so mindful that you're really tasting that ice cream. If you sit in front of the TV and you're eating the pint, you really, at a certain point, you're not even tasting it. You're feeling something going in your mouth, and it's cold going down your throat, and you're feeling that. But you're almost not stopping to pay attention to the flavor.
And that's
you know, just so important. And again, if you're going to buy ice cream, you know, look at the ingredients. You know, I make ice cream, you know, on occasion. Do I put guar gum in it? No. Do I put carrageenan in it? No. You know, look at the ingredients on the ice cream you're buying and buy ice cream that has the ingredients that ice cream is supposed to have in it. And, you know, it makes a real difference in everything you buy. You know, it's like you look at the ingredients because, you know, you buy cake and there's all these different, you know, I mean, if you're buying yourself a treat, you want to buy a treat that is still made up of real food, not things that you can't pronounce and not things that are fillers that, you know, give it the texture or the flavor or something that people want by doing a shortcut, by putting something not good for you in it. You can get the texture and the flavor and everything you want using real food. You might just have to buy a higher quality product in order to do it. But then eat less of it. You know, even for my followers who are meat eaters, I say, you know, if you feel like your body needs meat, I'm not one to argue with it. Everyone has to listen to their own body. You know, I can give you reasons why you should eat less meat and, you know, be mindful of the environment and the impact that, you know, the production of meat has on the planet. But at the same time, if you're going to eat meat, treat yourself well. Eat an animal that was raised eating good food, because if they're raised eating bad food, you're eating that. You know, you want to know what you're eating. So, you know, and it will cost more, but then you eat less of it. So, anyway, that's my little tip in there.
No, and you're absolutely right, and I do talk about that in the book, because you want to be aware of what you eat, why you eat, and where your food is sourced from is very, very important. And again, when you are more mindful, you will eat less. It's just the natural, you'll be much more in touch with your body, and instead of eating guilt or eating out of I shouldn't be eating this, you know, even if it's running in the back of your head, you're saying, okay, I'm choosing to nourish my body with healthier ingredients that are mindfully sourced or sustainably sourced. So, yeah, that's a wonderful point, Bhavani.
Yeah. You have this one page, The Secrets to the Divine Dining Method, in your book. And it says, remember the word prayer. And for each of the letters, you have a really nice little affirmation by itself. You want to share those with us?
Yes, absolutely.
On page 25?
Absolutely. And again, the
because
word
this is
prayer.
Something everyone listening, you can take this with you. I think it's just so beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. This is another one that came to me in the shower long after I had written the first book. I love showers because you get the best inspiration. Okay, prayer. P is for pause before you take the first bite. R, reflect on the food in front of you. A, appreciate the food and its source. Y, you remember you are divine. E, eat with intention and enjoy your food. R, remember to breathe. Prayer.
Ah, that's great. That's great. Remembering to breathe is something that I talk to people about all the time. It's in everything. I mean, if you're having a stressful day at work, there's nothing like just stopping for a minute and breathing. You know, if you know, no matter what you're doing, sometimes just stopping and breathing deeply and paying attention to that can just bring you right back to your center. It's amazing, the power of the breath.
Absolutely. And I think breath is so important, and it's a better thing to say to people when they're stressed out. Because you know how when you say to somebody, calm down, you know, what does that happen? What happens? It makes you more tense when somebody tells you to calm down. But if somebody tells you, breathe, that just changes everything. So that's a good reminder.
When we were talking earlier, you mentioned that now, since you've done your books, a lot of doors are opening up to you and that you're starting to teach, you know, around the country. Can you share some of those events with us?
Yes, I'm so excited. I'm teaching more workshops and retreats in various places. And one of the things that I'm most excited about is tomorrow morning I am leaving for the Lodge at Woodlock Spa in Hawley, Pennsylvania. It is one of the top spas in the world. And I am presenting both tomorrow night and Saturday night the 10 ways that divine dining can change your life. So I'm looking forward to that and other retreats and workshops around the country coming up.
Great. And so how would people find out about your schedule? Do you have a website?
They can go to livinglotusgroup.com or pop me an email at Catherine@livinglotusgroup.com and just put in the subject line what they're interested in, and I'll make sure they get on the right email list.
And if you were to sum up the divine dining method, what three things would you like my listeners to come away with?
Well, summing it up in three things, I would say, number one, focus fully on the food while you're eating. No distractions, just focus fully on the food while you're eating. Number two, pause to take a deep breath before the first bite. And number three, appreciate and be grateful for your food, where it came from and who prepared it. It's very important. So breathe, focus, and appreciate.
And take those, take the word prayer along with you, because that's just really a great one. Well, Catherine, this is really wonderful. I'm so happy for you. Now, are you also still continuing with the singing bowls? Because that's when I first met you. That's really what you were doing mostly. It was before the divine dining method actually came to be. And you're really focusing on the crystal bowls. Are you still teaching those, and are you still doing sessions with those?
Yes, I am doing, I do private Reiki sessions with sound healing using the crystal bowls, But I also am going to continue to do the Singing Bowl meditation. It's a mindfulness and crystal singing bowl meditation at Absolute Yoga Studio in Woodbury. I'll be doing it every other month, and we haven't set the October date yet, but I'll be doing that probably the third or fourth Wednesday in the month, October, and then December, right before the holidays, and and other places. But again, you can go to my events calendar, livinglotusgroup.com, and find out where and when I'll be doing different events.
Well, thank you. Catherine, thank you so much for joining me. It's really so wonderful to talk to you and watch your career move forward. And this book is just really beautiful, and I'm very happy for you. So thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, thank you for listening. And please make sure you put on your calendar to get out to the march on September 6th if you're in New York City, or September 8th everywhere else. We really need everybody's support out there. And everyone, thanks so much for joining us, and I'll see you again next week.
Thank you so
much. Bye for now.